tell the comic story of your life as it is. So Colin will tell a story of his life related to the threat to farming and our farming communities. I've known Colin for probably almost 30 years by now. So we've worked together when he was out on the farm. We preached together. So we've done lots of things. We've eaten his chickens. So anyhow, he's an Augustana alum as well. And so it's great that Colin is willing to talk about, you know, the disconnect or the threat that our farmland is actually facing with the current model of agriculture that is running. Anyhow, take it away. He might do something totally different. Was Colin one never knows?
Thank you. So what I want to do is I want to talk about the internal and the external forces that are contributing to the loss of the family farm. And I want to do it by talking about the farm that my grandfather grew up on, the farm that my dad grew up on, the farm that I grew up on, and the farm that my son grew up on. Let me tell some stories. What kind of time do I got here, Mark?
We should be done by about 8.
Like we should, and that would include discussion.
But you go as far as storytelling, and
okay.
Barry is going to come and do a contemplation at the end for the last 20 minutes.
Great.
Just go for it, and we'll bring you in for further discussion.
Okay. Now, you might find that an odd question to ask at the beginning of a presentation, but I very proudly like to say that, and I don't know if this is the correct language use, but I'm a Detmar protege. When Detmar and I were co-pastors at Bethel Lutheran Church in 02-03, at the back of the sanctuary, the congregation put up a clock. Now, the clock was to the back of the people, and they just put it up there, and they were trying to make a pretty strong hint to Detmar and I not to talk so long. My dad was born onto a family farm in the state of Iowa. Iowa is some of the best producing farmland in all of North America. So on this family farm, which was called Malang Family Farm, on this family farm was my dad, his dad, and his grandfather. One night, when my grandfather is in a drunken stupor, he gambles the farm away.
Oh.
Out of anger, out of frustration, out of humiliation, my grandfather, my dad's dad, packs up my dad and his wife, and they move to Canada. Malang Family Farm in Iowa was lost due to internal forces at work in my great-grandfather. So my grandfather came to Canada, 10 miles north of Camrose, to some of the poorest land in North America, to farm with his in-laws. This would be the farm where my dad would grow up. And my dad would stay on this farm until he was 33 years old. And the reason he stayed on this farm so long is that he needed to stay on this farm to keep the farm going. And why? Because to quote my dad, he said, "My dad was a poor manager." He was a poor manager. Now, when I listen to my dad's siblings talk, they talk about how their dad, my grandfather, was depressed. He was sad. He hardly ever smiled. Now, I don't know whether my grandfather was a poor farmer, but what I do know is, man, if this man was depressed, what I do know is when you're depressed, you don't function well. Okay? When you're depressed, you don't function well. My dad stayed on this farm, and he worked to build up this farm. And this farm, at that point, was called the Malang family farm because my grandfather and my grandmother had bought the farm from her family. My dad stayed in this farm until he was 33 years old, until his youngest brother could take over the farm. And the farm wasn't big enough, it wasn't viable enough for two brothers to farm this land. So my dad, for some reason, being oldest brother, left the farm and went into Camrose and became a carpenter. So I want you to, right now, I want you to hold this story of my dad right here, okay? Hold the story of my dad, because I want to talk about his brother, my uncle, Lester, okay? So Uncle Lester takes over the family farm. He got married, started having kids. He now buys the farm from his parents. And he called the farm Malang Stock Farms. And my uncle was a good farmer. His farm, his family's farm, Malang Stock Farm, would become an award-winning farm. In 1980, my uncle bought a half section of land. And my uncle did this because he had two boys who also wanted to farm. He wanted to pass on this legacy of farming to his sons. And he bought this half section of land because he knew the farm needed to expand. And he bought the land through the bank. Now, little did my uncle realize at that time is that interest rates are going to go through the roof. He bought this land, he took out a loan for it, and all of a sudden he's dealing with interest rates of 20, 22%, and very quickly debt overwhelmed this farm. And to make a long story short, the bank stepped in and took the family farm. Just like that, Malang Stock Farms was done. Why? Due to an external pressure. Nothing internally going on here, but there was this external pressure because you cannot control, at least as a farmer, you can't control interest rates. This external pressure took out the family farm that my dad grew up on. So, it's my uncle's story. Now, pull back to my dad's story. Now, get the timeline right. This family farm that my dad grew up on was lost in the 1990s. Okay. Now, my dad left that farm. He's 33. He's still a single man at this time. He'd given his life to this farm. He's 33. He leaves the farm. He moves into Camrose. He meets my mom. And he wants to farm. And at that point in time, you as a farmer, if you wanted to farm, you just couldn't go to the bank and get a loan. You couldn't go anywhere and get a loan to farm. Only way you could farm is if it was passed on to you. So my dad made an arrangement with a businessman who owned half section of land 2 miles south of town. So 2 miles south of that way, there's a half section of land owned by a businessman in Camrose, and my dad and Stan sat down and they made a deal that my dad would do all the work and he'd get half the profit. This would be the farm that I would be born onto, just 2 miles south of here. And folks, when I reflect on those early days of farming, living on this farm, I knew that my parents didn't own this land, but I didn't care. For me, in my heart, that I knew that this was a family farm, and I could not have been happier. Man, if you want to get a picture of what I looked like as a kid growing up, it would be rubber boots, blue jeans, t-shirt, brush cut, and a smile on my face. I can remember as a kid lying in a hayfield and looking up on a day like today and looking at the clouds and feeling the warmth of the sun and feeling absolutely alive inside. I can remember playing in the mud and the dirt. I remember coming, you know, when you came out of our house, you open up the door, and you can either go down the steps this way or down the steps this way, or there's a banister in front. I jumped over the banister, right? I didn't take the steps. I jumped over the banister. Yeah, I find out I got a hernia, and my mother told me, you got a hernia because you're jumping over the banister.
I don't think she was right.
They didn't stop me from jumping over the banister. Why?
It's very freeing. It's very life-giving. It's incredibly life-giving growing up on this family farm. I got the absolute privilege at a very young age to look after chickens. It was my job to look after 50 chickens in the springtime. And I can remember as a kid getting up early enough in the morning that I would go and look after my chickens, get back in the house, clean up, have breakfast, get on the bus, and go to school. I can tell you, I have no idea how early I had to get up those mornings, but let me tell you, when I woke up, I would have woke up with a smile. And I can remember getting off that bus, and even before getting to the house, man, I would go and check on my chickens. And I loved taking care of these chickens. They were my responsibility, and I loved it. And I also loved eviscerating them when we went to clean them, eat them, and I loved eating them. And as I got older, I would become part of the hog operation. And as my dad was building this farm that I grew up on, was one of the largest hog farms in Western Canada. Just 2 miles south of here. One of the largest hog farms in Western Canada. The only time my dad ever went on a holiday was to go where? He went back home to the state of Iowa. Because I remember as a kid growing up, my dad said, there are more pigs raised in the state of Iowa than all of Canada. And he said, if you want to know how to raise a lot of hogs, you go to Iowa. My dad took a farm tour in the state of Iowa when I was a kid. He can learn how to raise pigs even better than what he already was. Things I remember as a kid growing up on this farm was we had quite a long laneway. And in the wintertime, it would be dark when we had to go meet the bus. And I'd walk to the end of the lane. And I remember as I was standing there, you know, waiting for the bus to come, the bus would always come from the north. I remember looking up in the sky and seeing the sun, seeing the stars, seeing the moon. And I also remember like looking around, and I could make a 360 at that time, and I could see these yard lights, right? It's dark. And I could look around our community, and I could see a yard light there, 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 there. And I knew every farm. I could see this yard light, and I knew who lived there. Why did I know who lived there? Because I went to school with the kids, and we did community functions. I knew people in my community. And I also knew that on every farm, now I wouldn't have used this language, but they're all mixed farms. But I also knew that each farm seemed to do something a little bit more than other farms. Our farm was primarily the pigs. Just to the north of us, the Hazelwoods, they were big into dairy. The McGee's were big into beef. Lindbergh's, for some reason, they had lots of horses. Phillips, man, they just were big grain farmers. And along with the Byers were big grain farmers. One of my memories of that time in my life was Halloween. Because we'd get dressed up, and we'd go out, and go down the road, and when you saw a yard light, you knew that either mom or dad were going to pull in there, and it didn't matter how disguised we were, you always knew we were the Malang kids, right? Always knew we were the Malang kids, because even disguised, you were known. And I remember being there with my pillowcase, and because you're part of the community, you always got something special. And I can remember when we get done our trips, and I remember very distinctly going into my bedroom and dumping out my pillowcase, and the floor would be covered with good food. And when I think about that, that is a good symbol of abundance. A good symbol of abundance for me as this kid, as you travel around the community, you come home, you got this abundance, man. That's back in the olden days when actually getting something sweet was something special. When I reflect on my childhood and reflect on this family farm just south of here, man, it was abundance. The abundance of good food. Man, we had this massive garden, and I worked in the garden with my mom and my family, and we raised such good food. And I remember, like, in the fall, digging up potatoes, sacks and sacks, and we'd put them in the cellar, and in the springtime, we'd haul out half of them because they were rotten. And folks, I loved it.